Scandals abound, but Governor Chris Christie is continuing to lay the groundwork for a presidential campaign. Matt Katz of New Jersey Public Radio was with the governor last week in New Hampshire, where voters are beginning to road test the potential candidates.
Governor Christie was not being subtle about his political plans as he glad-handed his way through T-bones. When a woman at the suburban Manchester restaurant said she was undecided about how to vote for president, Christie assured her he'd be back to win her over.
That's okay. We'll work on that later.
Christie was ostensibly at T-Bones to promote the New Hampshire gubernatorial candidacy of Walt Havenstein. Although Christie is traveling the country campaigning for Republican candidates, only in New Hampshire is he supporting a candidate before the party's primary. So everyone at T-Bones thought he was really there for another election, the first in the nation New Hampshire presidential primary, some 18 months away. Outside the restaurant, a reporter asked him about just that.
Absolutely not. How dare you? Fact is, I've told everybody around the country that everybody who's looking forward to 2016 now is being foolish. If we as a party...
But you can't travel in political circles in New Hampshire without bumping into members of Team Christie. For example, Matt Mowers, who worked in the governor's office and on the re-election campaign, began running the state Republican Party here late last year. At some point, every presidential candidate will come through the New Hampshire Institute of Politics. Neil Levesque, the executive director of the Institute, gave me a tour of the building in Manchester. The Institute acts as a museum of memorabilia from past candidates.
That podium was used by JFK in Manchester on election day 1960.
But it also hosts town hall meetings, a forum that Levesque envisions will be a major strength for Christie, even if he gets into a heated back and forth with a constituent, as he is wont to do. They see that as straight talk, Levesque said.
He's a fascinating person, a person that people say to me, you know, when you have Chris Christie at the Institute of Politics, please let us know because we want to meet him. And, of course, it's a lot easier campaigning for president when people want to meet you rather than when you have to go out and try to pry open the doors.
But once they open that door, New Hampshire voters might not find a Republican to their liking. Some say they want to look at New Jersey's financial health, which is not so good. Christie is trying to close a gaping budget hole by rolling back reforms to the state pension system and skipping pension payments. Voters here aren't as moderate as the bipartisan electorate Christie has sought to appeal to in New Jersey. Issues that have been a problem for him in blue New Jersey could become a liability among Republicans in New Hampshire, but for opposite reasons.
Well, from a lot of Republicans, the first thing they're going to want to know is, where do you stand on firearms ownership? I mean, that is a big issue here.
That's 32-year-old Brandon Ross at a meeting of the Manchester Republican Committee last week. Christie vetoed a bill that banned the 50-caliber semi-automatic rifle, but that came after he had actually proposed such a ban. Republicans like 51-year-old Paul Chauvin haven't forgotten.
If you don't support the Second Amendment, then what else of the Constitution do you not support? I use that kind of as a litmus test, as a guide to how much somebody really respects the Constitution. If they don't respect the Second Amendment, as far as I'm concerned, they don't respect the Constitution anywhere else.
And even though Christie vetoed a gay marriage bill, some said they don't like the fact that when a judge ultimately approved it, Christie didn't fight to reverse that decision up to the state Supreme Court. Another potential problem for Christie, of course, is Bridgegate. Mike Dennehy, a New Hampshire political consultant allied with another potential Republican candidate, Texas Governor Rick Perry, told me that Christie was once the frontrunner here. But Bridgegate damaged Christie's brand of a guy who puts principle over politics.
While there's been no real findings of wrongdoing, it's the perception that has given people pause.
If Christie eventually becomes an official candidate, he'll have to stop at the Red Arrow Diner in Manchester. Newcomers here get a rowdy welcome. Red Arrow virgins stop at this landmark diner where celebrities and politicos and regular folks mix. Voters here talked about the investigations into his administration in the past tense, even though they are very much still going on. Miles Hall, 65, told me the perception from his circles in Republican New Hampshire is that it has made Christie more sympathetic, like a more authentic Republican.
It may be an ironic political advantage that he comes up with, that he can kind of point to that and indicate that he's, you know, that he's not riding a coattail of the media press entourage around him.
Months ago, Christie was interviewed by Diane Sawyer in a first step toward rehabilitating his image after Bridgegate. On the program, he said folks in Iowa, which holds the nation's first presidential caucus, love him.
I think I've already answered all the questions.
So as he left T-Bones and walked toward his SUV en route to a Republican fundraiser, I asked Christie if they love him in New Hampshire, too.
Even more, Matt, even more.
For WNYC, I'm Matt Katz.